Hello and welcome to Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. I've certainly a busy programme coming up. Later I'll be hearing from Neil MacDonald, the Chief Executive of the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises Association, ISME, about auto-enrolment. If you're not familiar with the term, no doubt you soon will be in the coming weeks, as it will be making plenty of headlines, not least because around 800,000 workers in the private sector are about to be enrolled in a retirement scheme called My Future Fund. They'll see a small percentage of their wages going into a retirement fund, and it'll be topped up by their employer and also the government, and there'll be a minimum of administration involved. Tata Consultancy Services, TCS, in Letterkenny, has been appointed as the managed service provider to operate the administration of My Future Fund, leading to an additional jobs boost here in Donegal. I'll also be finding out about the small benefit tax exemption, which allows employers to reward staff with up to €1,500 tax-free each year. Yet awareness and uptake remains low. Keelan Lennon, founder and CEO of Clever Cards, will be enlightening me on the subject. But first, if you're trying to grow your business or move in a different direction, chances are there are specific people you want to speak to. One way of opening doors is through networking. And the Donegal Business Network recently held a business networking event in Letterkenny. There was a great turnout with people from a wide variety of backgrounds going along to find out more and to meet with and hear from existing members. Anthony McGlynn of McGlynn Design is the director of the Donegal Business Network, which meets at the local enterprise office in Letterkenny. I attended the event and spoke with him afterwards.
Anthony, you've had an open information event, which was very well attended, and one of the main purposes of it was to tell people about the Donegal Business Network and what you do. So perhaps in your own words, you can explain what it's all about and what the aims are.
Thanks, Chris, for coming along today. So my name is Anthony, and I'm a graphic designer. At the moment, I'm the director of DBN for the past couple of 12 months. I joined DBN 2 years ago. It's basically a network where self-employed business people come together twice a month to share ideas, refer work to one another, and just have a general network of support.
So they come along. There is a particular sort of set format for the meetings.
Yeah, so we meet at, doors open at 6:30, 6:45 on a Wednesday morning. Meeting starts at 7. We start off first with a given the usual introduction of what DBN is about. Why do we get up at such a silly time in the morning before everybody else? And then we have everyone gets up to us for 60 seconds, tells us about their business, who they're looking to get in contact with, and maybe what work they've done in the past week. We then move on to a section where we have a 10 minutes where one individual in the group will pair off each member, and you'll spend 10 minutes just talking, just general chit-chat, giving ideas, trying to help each other with their business. And the idea of that as well is once the meeting is over, you have 2 weeks in to complete another one-to-one with that person or with another member. So it's kind of it's also getting you out of your office, getting you away from the away from the computer, and get you out and get you meeting. Then we follow up then the meeting with a 10-minute educational slot. This is where a member will do a 10-minute presentation on their business, or they might even do a presentation. We had a member recently who did an excellent 10 minutes on what he uses to keep track of his finances and how what software he uses to track his money and to make sure he gets the invoices paid. So things like that, you're currently learning by coming to the meetings every week.
So knowledge is shared, and then a lot of times there are going to be new doors opened, people are going to get leads, and that can potentially lead to them getting more business themselves.
Yeah, it's like what I said during the presentation. Everybody knows somebody. So if you're looking for a tailor or you're looking for a particular name in particular, you'll always have somebody who can get that name for you.
Now, some people have been involved for years in the network, and that's proof that it works.
Yeah, for example, we have Dean Spencer from BUR in Donegal, who's been a member of Coming On maybe 12, 13 years. And Dean has gone from being a one-man show to now employing, I think, up to four people, maybe five. And he still, his wife actually asked him, why do you still go to the meetings? And he just, as he said, he enjoys it. He gets so much out of it. He's getting referrals, he's getting work, and he's getting the support that he needs from the members.
Now, it's based here in Letterkenny, but there are people from all around the county.
Yeah, so as I said, we're based here in the local enterprise office in the conference room. We have members coming from Lahey, we have members coming from St. Johnson. So actually, there's only quite a few from Letterkenny, but if people are willing to travel.
And the whole formula and background to it, it's tried and trusted all over the world.
Yeah, so this started up, I think, I'm not sure the exact year, but it's at least 15 years now. It was created by Pascal Kern and Michael McGinty. They had a vision, and it's at one stage prior to COVID, I think there's maybe 40 or 50 members. I myself was asked for weeks and weeks, I was asked continually for over 10 years to come along, and I always shied away, and I regret it in one way, but in another sense, I wasn't ready for it. So when I got asked to join 2 years ago, I jumped at the chance.
And there's no pressure on anybody. They can come along, they can see what it's all about. And then what's very useful is at the meeting, people can leave their business cards or a little bit of blurb. There could be a brochure or something, and you just don't know who's going to pick it up and pass it on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We find the mornings that we have a visitor, you're on your toes. And by getting up and even just speaking for 30 seconds, people are getting to know about you and your business and what you offer. Yes, we've had visitors, and it's been can be quite daunting for them to stand up. But even by just telling your name and what you do, it's letting members know.
And important to point out that some people are coming to the network and they are looking to drive their business and getting the financial return from coming here. But for others, it can be a different type of, it can be just a whole social side of it and meeting other people and also getting to know people that maybe you can ring for advice.
Yeah, definitely. For some members, it is more about the financial aspect of getting that referral and generating more income. For others, it's not that case. They enjoy the network because they have a group of people who they can lift the phone. We have a WhatsApp group. You can put in a message, and somebody will always reply. And it's just been a great network to have locally.
And if somebody wants to find out more, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, we have a website which was created by Michael McGinty from MeanIT. It is DonegalBusinessNetwork.ie, and we also are on Facebook.
And that was Anthony McGlynn, the director of the Donegal Business Network. From January, an estimated 800,000 workers who are currently not in any private pension scheme will start, as there will be automatic deduction from their payroll. A new independent state agency, the National Automatic Enrolment Retirement Savings Authority, has been set up to administer and regulate the new auto-enrolment scheme for pensions. This is a hugely significant development, with both the state and employers contributing, and the bottom line is that employees in Ireland who meet the eligibility criteria will have access to a quality-assured retirement savings scheme. And the portal for what will be known as My Future Fund will have its operating base here in Letterkenny, where Tata Consultancy Services has been appointed as the service provider. Now, this is one of the biggest policy decisions made by the government in years and is aimed at ensuring that more people have a private pension as well as the state pension when they retire. I've been speaking to Neil MacDonald, the chief executive of the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises Association, ISME, to find out more about the auto-enrolment scheme, which you will hear to referred as AE, and also how it differs from personal retirement savings accounts, or PRSAs, a term you will hear several times as well in this interview. I began by putting it to Neil that after years and years of talking about auto-enrolment, it is finally happening, and the consensus is that it's good for the country.
Yes, hello, Chris. There is rightly a consensus that it's good for the country. We've had a number of false starts. We've been expecting it over the last 2 years. We thought we'd have it in October last year, and finally the portal for employer and employee deductions opened last Monday, so it's finally going to happen. It is, while of course there is a significant expense involved for employers, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but there is a very significant degree of pensions absence of coverage in among the private sector workforce, and we were never going to bridge that gap and get that cohort of people anywhere near a survivable pension until we went down this road. And this is a road that, for example, the UK, Australia and New Zealand have long gone down. So ISMI has campaigned for this. It's finally happened. It's starting now, but it does represent a very significant cost for employers.
If we look at the auto enrollment contribution rates, so just to explain to people what exactly is going to be happening, it's going to be phased in over a number of years. So if you can just break down what the employees are paying, what the government are putting in, and what the employer is putting in percentage terms.
So from the 1st of January, the basic, the minimum legislative requirement is going to be for the employer to put in 1.5%, for the employee to put in 1.5%, and the state will match a quarter of that total contribution. So there are three elements going into that pension. There is a slight difference. This is where AE slightly differs from the PRSA system, which is where if you're making a contribution under your own PRSA via your employer, you get tax relief at 20% or at 40%, depending on your income level. This contribution under AE will be after tax. And the reason for that is because the state is topping up your auto enrollment pension. That doesn't happen for a standard PRSA. But when you're earning 44,000 euros or more per annum, the value of that tax-free element to your PRSA exceeds the value of the state contribution.
For many young people, the thought of a pension is something so far down the track that they don't even like to talk about it. But with this new system coming into place from an early age, essentially, you are going to have a little bit being put away every week. And then when you do eventually retire, that pot hopefully will have grown considerably. So it is, in the long term, a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And the longer you leave it to start a pension, the more it costs you to give you a given euro or a given 1,000 euro of pension income. So, you know, I'm certainly envious of young people, believe it or not, starting now. Yes, they're going to see someone in a job now making more than, I should have said, sorry, Chris, that the hurdle income for this is 20,000 euro, but it's not 20,000 euro per annum. The way the revenue looks at this is that anyone who earns more than 5,000 euro in the preceding quarter up to the end of the year will automatically fall into the auto-enrollment fold. So there will be quite a few part-time workers or those who do seasonal workers who weren't expecting to be in AE will actually see a deduction in payroll in January. But, you know, it's actually really good news for those workers who are in their 20s who never thought about having a pension and going to be in a state pension scheme, whether they like it or not. And the great thing is that this will give them 40 years of compounding, which is the real power of pensions started early. So we hope that this will you know, materially improve the lot of retired workers in 40 years' time. And of course, it is important to say that the 1.5% contribution that I mentioned at the beginning for employer and employee will, over the next 10 years, increase until it's 6% on each side for a total 12% contribution from employer and employee. That will be met by a 1.25% contribution from the state.
For a lot of employers, this is going to be an added cost, and it could be quite significant. So whilst it's been welcomed, it's going to put a further squeeze on margins and profitability.
It absolutely is. There's no way to dodge that bullet, unfortunately, Chris. And coming on top of what is a 4.8%, almost a 5% increase in the minimum wage, you know, you're looking at an awful lot of service businesses in terms of childcare, hair, beauty and grooming, nursing homes, hospitality, hotels, restaurants and bars, where they're going to see effectively a 6.5% increase in their payroll cost in January. So, look, we're not behind the bushes in saying that that is a really, really significant cost adjustment to make. But what we would say to employers in particular is two things. First of all, this problem had to go away at some point. We just have to start making pension provision for those people for whom a state pension would be inadequate. But secondly, the point that those employers need to make to their employees is that this 1.5% deduction by the employer is actually part of your payroll. This pension contribution isn't the employer's money, it's the employee's money, and it must be regarded as part of their overall remuneration. And that is the way it's treated in other jurisdictions. And for people in employment today who have a pension contribution from their employer, you know, that is a negotiated part of their employment remuneration package as well. So, yes, you're going to see a pension deduction for yourself. Yes, you're going to see a pension deduction by your employer, but that's actually part of your pay. That's a really important point for both employers and employees to understand from the 1st of January next year.
Now, for employers, we've had a bit of time to prepare for this. ISME has had a consultation offer for members. There's been a webinar. There's been lots of information out there. Do you feel that most employers are pretty ready now to go with it?
A lot of them, Chris, regrettably, are not. And while there has been, the Department of Social Protection is the lead government department on this, it has been interacting quite vigorously with the accounting and the payroll processing business communities. The communications with employers, unfortunately, has been considerably less so. Now, there are frequently asked questions up there on the welfare website about this, but there will be quite a lot of employers who will be struggling to communicate a lot of the messages you and I have just gone over. There'll be quite a few employers struggling with those questions from the 1st of January. So, look, there's no point crying over spilt milk. The portal for employers only opened last Monday. But we are going to need to see quite vigorous, continuous communication with employers and employees for the first 6 months of 2026. You know, we hear a lot of state advertising on the radio and media now. You know, that's going to have to be quite intensive for the first half of 2026 until people get their heads around what autumn enrollment is. If they want to opt out of it, which they can, we recommend they do not do so. An employee that opts out of auto-enrollment will automatically be opted back in again 2 years after that. So we would just say, don't, you know, leave your money in there. You've got the state looking after a pension for you now. Please just leave it in there and consider it part of your pension saving.
And around 800,000 workers in the country currently don't have any kind of pension savings. So that's one of the key reasons behind it. But of course, there are many who do have a small private pension. There's a state pension as well. But important to point out also that in some cases, these people who maybe have no pension plan at the moment, they would actually be better off joining a company pension plan in some cases.
Yeah, it does depend on your income level. So we'll deal with the state pension first, which is the contributory and the non-contributory. We all pay our 4% PRSI into a veil of that pension. But for most people, and certainly if someone has an overhang of a mortgage or a rental payment, that will go into their late 60s, into their retirement, the state pension is not going to be sufficient to pay that off. workers in the public sector, whether in the civil service, local authorities and so on, they tend to have defined benefit pensions that are paid for from people's tax revenue, so they're okay. So the 800,000 you refer to are those in the middle that, that you know, they're a contributory or non-contributory old age pension isn't going to be enough to keep them in their current accommodation in their old age, and they don't qualify for a public service pension. Now, you referred to those for whom AE won't necessarily be the most attractive option, and that is why for anyone earning €44,000 a year or more, and that's the point at where the marginal rate of taxation kicks in, for those people, the tax exempt element of a PRSA is more valuable than the state contribution under AE. So for a lot of businesses, with people working in the 44,000 to the €80,000 cohort, and at €80,000 the state contribution will cease. For those people, employers are going to want to start up a PRSA for those people, or those people will insist on getting access to a PRSA.
And the portal that is open, just explain to us what exactly can people expect if they go on to that to find out more.
Well, the portal is essentially a registration site for employers to put in the names and details of their employees so that auto-enrollment deductions can be processed. Now, there are employers, and we know that there are, this would be particularly acute in employments where, say, everyone is earning over €44,000, where all the employees in a business have opted for a PRSA option. We would still advise those employers to register on the portal, because they could, for example, have temporary employees or part-time employees who will earn in a quarter more than €5,000. They might not think of those people as in scope for either AE or the business PRSA, but they are actually in scope. So we would recommend that all employers put the details of their employees in, make a registration in the portal. It has only just gone live, so you know, employers have to understand what the details they're registering there are. But if they fail to do so, what will actually happen is that a short-term employee will find a deduction made from payroll if they've earned more than €5,000 in 13 weeks. So all employers should be up there, even if 100% of their employees, of their normal employees, already have a PRSA.
So once it's up and running and there's the obvious software and people will get familiar with it, there shouldn't be too much of an administrative burden for employers?
No, that's one area, to be absolutely fair, that the department has worked very well on. Once an employer has registered on the portal, and once they're transmitting their payroll on whatever the basis, you know, their employments that are done, payroll run on a weekly, fortnightly or monthly basis, the revenue and the Department of Social Protection will be able to look in there and see if there is a PRSA deduction in respect of CRIS. And if there is not a payroll deduction in respect, a PRSA deduction in respect of CRIS, and CRIS has earned more than €5,000 in the last 13 weeks, then the state will automatically dip into payroll and extract the money necessary for that auto-enrollment pension. So that burden will actually be taken off the employer once they have registered those details on the AE portal.
And just two other points. Firstly, just to clarify one thing, employees, am I right in saying they have to be aged between 23 and 60?
I understand. I don't have those ages in front of me, but I believe they're correct, Chris, and earning an income in excess of €20,000, but the 20,000 is actually divided into four quarters of €5,000 each. But, you know, with the minimum wage now at essentially €27,000 from January, effectively anyone who's in full-time employment will be within the auto-enrollment net.
Yeah. And just one other thing, you mentioned that other countries, including the UK and New Zealand, have done similar schemes. How are you aware, just how do we compare with them? Is this pretty good? If you take our state pension, it's above that in many other EU countries. So on that side of things, we've done reasonably well in the past.
Yes, and we understand, you know, I've been on this auto-enrollment beat for a couple of years now, and talking with a lot of UK pension professionals. I'm not a pension professional myself, but we do understand that the Department of Social Protection has ironed out some of the creases that have been noticed in systems elsewhere. Yes, look, we can expect some teething problems in December. And from the 1st of January, it's a brand new system. But once it's up and running, it just becomes part of the furniture. It becomes part of working life. And we will, you know, we're looking forward to people making a sensible contribution to their own futures. So, yes, there of course, we can expect some little speed bumps on the road in the first and second quarter of 2026. But we hope to have those ironed out quite quickly.
And just one other thing while you're on, ISME, you're always no doubt looking for new members, and here in the Northwest, the message, if you haven't joined up, get in contact with you. You do an awful lot between lobbying and the website, and there's so many events, and it's well worth the membership fee each year.
Well, indeed, Chris, thanks very much. You know, we are the only trade representative for small business that's independent of the needs of big business. We're always in the corner of small business, and at the moment, that you know, we acknowledge that's a tricky place for people to be. A lot of businesses, that this isn't, you know, is me saying this, the revenue figures for the last 2 years show that a lot of what we would call micro-employers, in other words, those with 9 employees or less, are actually really under the cosh from a profitability point of view. The numbers of them making a nil or negative corporation tax return has increased from 2023 to 2024, and also the size of the declared loss has increased by 6%. You know, so times we understand and we appreciate are very tricky for small businesses at the moment. So you do need someone in your corner fighting for you. And that's what we do in ISME.
And that was Neil McDonald, Chief Executive of ISME. Well, did you know that employers can reward staff with up to €1,500 tax-free each year? Well, it appears that this is an underused way of rewarding employees, and is particularly topical as we approach Christmas. The small benefit tax exemption allows employers to reward staff with up to €1,500 tax-free each year, yet awareness and uptake remains low. Indeed, thousands of small and medium enterprises are not availing of the scheme, according to data from Clever Cards, an Irish company that has developed a digital prepaid MasterCard that can be used for a variety of purposes such as employee rewards, meal allowances and expense management. Well, its data shows there are approximately 188,000 small businesses outside Dublin employing over 700,000 people. While larger companies and Dublin-based firms have a higher uptake, small firms across the country in counties like Galway, Limerick, Mayo, Donegal and Wexford continue to underutilise the allowance. To tell me more, I've been speaking with Clever Cards founder and CEO Keelan Lennon, and I asked him to outline the scheme in some more detail.
Sure, Chris. Yeah, and good evening. So the small benefit exemption, the small benefit tax exemption, it's, as you said, it's one of those tax breaks, I would say one of the only tax breaks that's available to small businesses that they didn't have to invest in, and you're not putting money away for pension or anything like that. It's very, very straightforward. It allows a business to give up to €1,500 in a non-cash benefit like a clever card, tax-free to each employee every year. And that basically means that you don't have any PAYE, PRSI, employer's PRSI or USC. So it's definitely in the no-brainer category, Chris, in terms of the benefit.
So it's an initiative, you could say, of the government. Why was it brought in the first place? Was it to foster goodwill?
It was brought in actually quite a number of years ago, but I suppose it's got a little bit more prominence now. It used to be, you know, many years ago, it was €250, and it was kind of, the idea was that anything that was small, there wouldn't be a benefit in kind tax on it. And the government then decided to move it from that, you know, all the way up to €1,500 now. And yes, you know, I mean, it's I'm very passionate. We have a small business ourselves. Chris, we started a small business, but we're up to 150 people now. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a small business. We're not like a big foreign direct investor in Ireland. And, you know, it's real money for real small businesses. And as much as we might say that the government needs to do more for, you know, small businesses in cities and towns and rural communities around Ireland, you know, these are the small businesses, as I'm sure you well know, Chris, and your listeners, that they pay huge amounts of PAYE and VAT. They're the ones creating the local employment. And they often feel very overlooked when it comes to practical support and awareness. But this allowance was designed specifically for them. And I suppose what frustrates us in Clever Cards is the amount of small businesses that simply do not know it exists.
So accountants could play a part here. They can become, in many ways, proactive advocates for their clients and helping them to maximise the benefits.
Yeah, and I think so. I mean, look, we, as I said, we see it in our own data that the uptake of this is far, far too low, okay? There's thousands of small firms that are out there. They either overlook it, or they're not aware of it, or they think their accountant is looking after it, or that it happens automatically. It's not. And it's not an abstract tax policy. It's really, really simple. And I suppose to put numbers on it, Chris, if you have a 5-person business, that would cost you over €15,000 for the employees to end up at €7,500, because you have to deduct PAYE and PRSI. But you can reward them with €7,500 on a Clever Card. You can give Clever Cards of up to €1,500 each to a staff member. So it's as I said, it's money for old rope. It's a significant saving for a small employer. And yeah, we believe that, you know, and I'm an accountant myself, I might add, Chris, but I'm not in practice anymore. But we believe that the government at one level have done their job. They've put a tax policy in place. It's there for small businesses. And now it's really about getting the message out to small businesses to say, you know, this is something not to be missed out. It's a significant saving for small businesses. There's over, you know, 188,000, I think it's 190,000, that's sort of number, Chris, of small businesses that are outside Dublin that employ nearly 750,000 people. And the majority of them are not availing of it. Look, the onus is on the industry. They are well aware of it. So it's up to the accountants to be able to say to their clients, listen, the end of the year is coming up. Don't miss out on this. Don't lose this money. It is really, really simple. And as I said, I gave you the example there with a 5-person company. You could double it. If you have a 20-person company, you're up to €30,000. You're saving €30,000. There really isn't any other tax saving out there at all. The money goes straight to the employee, whether it's a director or an employee of the business. And you know, it's not that you're chucking the money back into your pension fund. It's not that you have to invest in some, you know, tax investment, not see the money for 5 years. You know, the employees see the money instantly on a digital MasterCard.
So employers can gift up to €1,500 tax-free to staff. Now, is there any small print in this? When you say gift-free, what exactly can you do and what can't you do?
Sure. So what you cannot do is sacrifice salary. So you can't turn around to somebody and say, you know, you're earning €3,000 a month, but this month I'm only going to pay you €1,500 and give you a Clever Card instead. You can't do that, okay? But you can reward staff, you know? So you can reward staff and literally you give them that card with up to €1,500 on it. It doesn't have to go to all staff. It could be to one member. It could be to all members. Little bit of small print. Yes, the cards are restricted, so you can't take cash out at an ATM. You know, you can't transfer it, let's say, to PayPal or something. But the card works everywhere in the world, and it works online, it works in store, in every single retail merchant around the world. And the other side of it that we would see, Chris, from the data that we have, It's not all, you know, shopping in the expensive shops and everything else, etc. We see people that are using it to pay their electricity bills, to pay motor tax, and to pay groceries at Christmas time. We see other people that have, you know, clearly they've used it in Spain or France or something, and it might be for a wedding or whatever the case may be. As I said, the key thing is that it has to be a non-cash benefit. And the other thing as well, just to call out, this is all on the Revenue website in terms of the small benefit tax exemption. You can only give up to 5 benefits, small benefits a year. So if you've previously given, you know, 250 quid in a gift card or something to somebody, you can only now give them 1,250. But if you've never done it previously in the business, you can take out up to 1,500. It's up to five benefits a year, basically.
So by way of example, let's just say I happen to know the owner of a petrol station. Can I do a gift card for €1,000 at that petrol station? Or if I know somebody who maybe has a spa, could I get a voucher? Or like, is it a pretty broad range of things that I can do?
Yeah, so the actual tax benefit that the government introduced is that you can give a non-cash benefit up to €1,500. So yes, a spa voucher by all means would qualify for one of those. Now, it'd be a fancy spa for €1,500, obviously, Chris, right? But you can give up to €1,500 in a non-cash benefit. And I suppose the reason that Clevercards designed the product that we designed is that it's a digital MasterCard that worked everywhere in the world. So, you know, you might as well give them a Clevercard because it works in the spa. You might as well give them a Clevercard because it works in the petrol station. And so it was the ubiquity of it, the fact that the card works everywhere in the world. There's probably a bit more awareness of it that we see from the data in the Dublin region, and hence this conversation and others, Chris, is that we really want to get the word out there wide to small businesses that are the backbone of Ireland's economy. Don't forget, small businesses employ well over 90%. And when I say small business, a business that has less than 10 employees, and I know what it's like to be an owner-managed business. I know about the worries of having to worry about payroll at the end of the month and VAT and energy costs and everything else, etc. It is tough being a small business. And there's a lot of, you know, if you look at what's happened in the economy over the last 12 months, Chris, both geopolitical and everything else, the world is changing. You know, I think Ireland has done phenomenally well with the foreign direct investment policy that the government has. They've brought them all in. But, you know, I think it's changing. You see what's happening with the Trump administration in the States. You see what's happening with Europe versus the United States. And they were the big drivers of this economy. There was 10 or 15 businesses contributing to 50% of the taxes. But it was the small businesses were contributing the rest. They were the ones employing people the length and breadth of this country, paying POA and PRSI and VAT month in, month out. And, you know, while we've lobbied government to say you need to do more for small business, they are making it aware that, look, this is certainly one very simple allowance that's out there.
And, of course, the employer has the choice. So the likes of your One for All card and there's various other ones. What about at a local level? I know some local chambers of commerce might have a local card that you can buy, which is for just purchasing things in your own area. Would that come under this scheme?
Yeah, so you can get, you know, a plastic One for All card. You can get some of the gift cards that are out there. And I suppose that's the other thing that Clevercards did when we built it originally, Chris. And I should probably point out that, and maybe not surprisingly in the context now, Clevercards was listed by the Financial Times as the fastest growing Irish technology company in Ireland. And I think we're something like 70 in Europe. We've had absolutely rapid growth. Because what we did was we built it around a digital experience. So we made it easy for the business to be able to email cards to themselves or to their staff. And I reiterate it, the card works everywhere. So what we're typically seeing is that when someone's got a MasterCard in their phone is in their back pocket all the time. You don't have plastic cards. You don't have to forget the balance. You're not at the queue at the counter forgetting how much you've got on your card. It's a digital card. So it's easy for the employer. It's easy for the card holder. It's a digital MasterCard. It works everywhere. And as I said, you always know your balance. And then accordingly, what we're seeing, you know, unlike a card, like let's say you mentioned a One for All card that's restricted, it only works in a certain set of you know, some of the larger retailers, it's not going to work in the coffee shop in Donegal. It's not going to work in the in the petrol station in Donegal. Whereas at Clever Card, we see that people are using it in their local economies, and it benefits everybody. It benefits the hairdresser, the barber, the butcher, the shoe shop. You know, it's a recirculation of it, so to speak.
And just finally, from an administrative point of view, a small business, is there much extra admin in doing a scheme like this?
No, it really is simple. I mean, to get set up with an account, to get Clever Card, like, takes 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you know what I mean? It's extremely fast. And it's as simple as putting an order through. Going back to what we said earlier, if you have a 10-person business and you wanted to get 1,500 for each of them, you know, or some of them could be family members that are employees as well. You know, it's 15 grand. You do a bank transfer for 15 grand and you've got digital MasterCards that are straight through to the phones. It's as simple as that. There is a disclosure requirement that must go out to revenue, that revenue are, we don't know how much they're cracking down on this, but this one is tax-free. So the beauty of it is that it's tax-free. But that doesn't mean it's not disclosable, if you know what I mean. And the same for everybody. So, but that's like doing your monthly doing your P35 at the end of the year, just saying what your annual, you know, what staff members are, but completely tax free.
And that was Clever Card's founder and CEO, Keelan Lennon. That's it for another program. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, may I wish you a healthy, happy, and profitable week ahead. From me, Chris Ashmore. Goodbye.